But a year that has shown us your mercy, that has preserved us in spite of so many tribulations and difficulties and attacks that have come against us. A year in which you have shown unto us your faithfulness, and you have caused us to triumph over the enemy in spite of all that we have faced. And therefore, we are very, very grateful. And we look with great faith, hope, and anticipation for the greatness of the things you're still going to do, you're yet to do, as the year 2017 rolls in. My Father and my God, as I come to share your word, I do not enter into it presumptuously, but I enter into your word with the reverence that it deserves. And I ask that, Lord, you will come and anoint me afresh and help me to speak as I should as an oracle of God. Let your word flow freely, Father, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. In particular, Lord God, to encourage, to inspire, to edify, and to instruct us as concerning the new year that we're entering into, so that we will have understanding of the times and what we ought to do, and we will do it by your mercy, and so that your will and your purpose for our lives, individually, collectively as a church, collectively as a nation, even in the whole world, will come to pass in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that as I speak, that Lord God, you will help me. Help me, Lord God, to bring forth this word with precision, to redeem the time, to say only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of the word, things new and old, even as a scribe instructed of the kingdom. We pray for a release of the power of the Spirit without measure, that will go forth as the word goes forth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, yes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We ask all of these mercies in the wonderful name of Jesus. And all those in agreement with me said, amen. Hallelujah. 2017. For those who've been in church in recent times, you would have been able to pick by the Spirit. In summary, God's been building this up in me for some weeks now. I go and call it a year of the fullness of the mercy of God to triumph. Year, it was a year of the fullness of the mercy of God to triumph. And there are three key words there. Everybody say mercy. Say fullness. And then say triumph. Hallelujah. These three words are going to define the year 2017 for Christians who will walk in the light of the revelation truth concerning these things. 2016 was declared to be a year of the witness of new beginnings. And truly, it was. Because we saw very significantly the return of the Chibok girls happening exactly 2.5 years after their adoption. And that was a very spiritually significant event for the simple reason that their adoption took place at the beginning of the blood moons. And it was after that that we began to see their return, indicating, because the blood moons, actually, looking back now in retrospect with greater revelation and understanding, indicated an intensification of the spiritual warfare in the heavens over the nations, in particular Nigeria, and then later on we saw in England and then America. And this warfare, as I speak, is taking place. But the good news is that we are winning. Hallelujah. The war is turning the tide in our favor. Glory be to God. And the return of those girls, you know, coinciding with the timing of the blood moons, is an indication. You see, the Bible tells us that God gave the signs in the heavens as an indication of the things that he's doing upon the earth. You know, if you look in Genesis chapter 1 in verse 14, the Bible tells us, it says that God set the moon and the sun as signs, not only of the weather and of dates and calendars, but also as signs of religious, one of the translations says religious festivals. In other words, God had put these signs, if you look in one of the modern translations, maybe the New International or one of the Message or one of them anyway, one of the New International versions, it says they were set in the heavens for signs of religious festivals. It's very interesting that God set those religious festivals thousands of years later through Moses, which, you know, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost. But even before he did that, he had said that the sun and the moon will be as signs for those festivals. And therefore, whenever we see a synchronization of the blood moons, of the moon and the sun aligning, thank you, they will serve as signs for festivals. You know, you will find that there is a spiritually significant event that is taking place on the earth. In particular, we begin to see, and as I began to pray about 2017, some things were brought to my mind and to my remembrance that I hadn't thought of before. You know, and I said, Lord, that's absolutely true. You know, and I hadn't seen it like that. You know, that's what revelation does. When God begins to shine light upon your mind, he begins to show you things that you didn't know. So the festivals represent the purposes of God being fulfilled. And I want to bring out this that's very important. We said 2016 was a witness. It was a witness. We began to see, have a witness of the new beginnings. But as we enter 2017, we're going to see those new beginnings in a greater form in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So what we've seen is an indication, a witness, and then we're going to now begin to see the greatness of it in a far greater way. And there are two significant events that I want to bring out. Before I go there, let me also say this. I said that, you know, the year 2017 is going to be marked by the word. Everybody say mercy, fullness, and triumph. You see, the mercy of God is at different levels. We're going to see that as we go on. There is mercy not to be consumed. There is mercy to be faithful. Then there is mercy to triumph. It is the fullness of mercy that causes you to triumph always. And in this year, 2017, as you begin to walk in the fullness of the mercy of God, you're going to triumph in your personal life. You're going to triumph in your personal spiritual life. You're going to triumph in your family life. You're going to triumph in your career. You're going to triumph in your finances. Every area of your life, you're going to be seeing triumph, 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 triumph. Hallelujah. And that's why we've called it the mercy of God to triumph. Now, 2017, two significant events which are foreshadowed by historical events that have taken place in the past. Now, what I'm about to say, I'm going to speak like, by the help of the Holy Spirit and mercy of God, like the Apostle Paul. See, Paul said, this thing I want to tell you, I'm not saying it thus saith the Lord, but I believe I have the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God will bear witness to this. 2016 was the seventh of a sequence of seven Shemitah years. A Shemitah year is a year every 7 years. Find this, I'm not going to go there because of time. Every 7 years in Israel, it was a year of release. Then when you have seven of them consecutively, you come to 49 years. And that 49 years is taken as the end of that seven seventh Shemitah year cycle into a Jubilee year. Now, I didn't know this, or let me put it this way, I knew it, but I didn't know how significant it was. Many Jewish scholars calculate the Jubilee based on the 49-year cycle for the simple reason, and it makes sense, that if you move it to the 50th year, you disturb the cycle. So they do it in 7, 7, 7, so they're 49, 49, 49, 49. But strictly speaking, the Jubilee is actually in the 50th year. But because of the way they do the timing, so that they don't miss out on the 7-year cycle, they have kept it as a 49-year cycle. However, in our particular case now, where we are today in history, we find that the last Jubilee, which coincided with the 50-year cycle, not the 49-year one, was actually the year 1967. And here we are 50 years later in 2017. Now, something happened in 1967. I didn't tie it together before, but the Lord, as I prayed, it came to me. It was 1967 that natural Israel occupied the Temple Mount. They had never occupied it for 2,000 years. The place where that mosque is now is the same place where the Temple of Solomon was, and it's the same place where Jesus was crucified. It's the same Mount Moriah where Isaac was sacrificed. Now, he wasn't sacrificed, but where Isaac was laid on the altar is exactly. And after the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, and the Jews were thrown out, you know, of the promise of Palestine and the promised land, it was not until 1967 that that place came again into Israeli hands. It came back into the hands of natural Israel. First the natural, afterward the spiritual. Now, just as natural Israel has occupied the Temple Mount, spiritual Israel will occupy the mountain of Zion, the mountain of the Lord of hosts. And you see this in Isaiah chapter 2. Now, give me that scripture. Isaiah 2. Hallelujah. Amazing. Isaiah chapter 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established where? In the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above all hills, and what? All nations shall flow into it. And so, as we go into 2000, this Jubilee, this release year, hallelujah, we are going to see this begin to happen. Glory to God. That's the first one. The second one, you know, again, I was just minding my business and praying, praise the Lord. And even though I never thought of it, you know, and it just hit me, you know, is the fact that this 2017 is exactly 500 years from the Reformation. The Reformation of Martin Luther took place in 1517. It's exactly 500 years. And you see a shadow of this. Now, let me say something about types and shadows. They are not exact, you know, it doesn't mean it has to be that exact day and that exact hour. That's why it's a shadow. If you look at me now, you'll see if this light here is casting a shadow of my body on the ground. Now, the shadow will not be exactly the same length as my body. Depending on the direction of the light, it could be a little bit shorter or it could be a little bit longer. So it is with spiritual shadows, you know, where you have a spiritual shadow, it may not be exactly, you know, to the year and the day and the hour, but it gives you an indication. These are prophetic indications. So there's another prophetic indicator for 2017. It was 500 years. It's 500 years from the Reformation where God began to rebuild the church. Or you could say where the church came out of Babylonian captivity, because the church had been in dark ages for 1,000 years. Now, isn't it amazing? If you go to 1 Chronicles chapter 6, it was 480 years after they came out of Egypt that Solomon finished the temple. just the same significance of the Temple Mount. And so we are going to see an emphasis in 2017 of the Temple of the Lord, which is us, becoming established upon Mount Zion and begin to manifest the power and the glory of God. Hallelujah. We see these prophetic indicators showing and pointing the direction to the significance of this 2017. So 2017 is going to be a year of the mercy of God, the fullness of the mercy of God, causing us to triumph and bringing these things to begin to come to pass. And it is very important as Christians, like it says in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 12, he says, having understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. Now, I don't have to tell you, we all know this, that as I speak now, the nations are being shaken. We're seeing political, you know, shaking of the nations that we haven't seen the like of in recent times. And this is no surprise. The shaking of the nations is a direct consequence of the spiritual battles that are taking place right now in the heavenly places, as shown in Revelation chapter 12. He said, "And Michael and there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought, and the devil and his angels fought, and they did not prevail. And Michael and his angels, you know, prevailed over Satan and his angels." Now, in exactly the same way, there's an intense spiritual battle going on now for the soul, if you can call it that, for the destiny of the nations. And that's why that's what we've seen in these last 2.5 to 3 years. Here in Nigeria, with the Boko Haram thing that spread, you know, whose effect was felt all over the globe. You know, in fact, my wife and I, we just got back, you know, went to spend a few days with our children, and we got in a taxi in Cyprus, and the driver asked us where we were from, and we said, "Oh, we're from Nigeria, you know, through England, from Nigeria." He said, "Boko Haram." And so we started laughing and told him that, well, they're being put in, you know, they're being checked and being overcome right now. But the point I'm making is that the whole world knows. It had a global effect. Then the next thing, of course, was Brexit, the European Union, the exit of England from the European Union, vote in June. And then recently, most recently, the American elections, which defied all normal political calculations. But I want you to know God is in control. God has a purpose for allowing these things to happen the way they've happened. In spite of men's choices and their free wills and all of that, God will not violate that. But in it all, God is going to use it for his purpose and his glory in the name of Jesus. So it is a spiritual, these things are indicators. In fact, this is exactly what Jesus said. It's amazing the accuracy of the prophetic scriptures. Jesus said this. He said, "And there shall be signs." Luke 21, quickly give me that. I'll come back to this in a minute. Luke 21, verse 25. Luke 21. "And there shall be signs." Everyone say, "And there shall be signs. In the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth," what? "Distress of nations." He uses the expression distress here. Haggai, which we'll look at probably, you know, I'll quote and mention, use the word shaking. Distress, shaking, means the same thing. You know, the spirit of it is the same. The letters are different, but he's talking about the nations will be undergoing with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring. The sea and the waves there is not just the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean, which is a part of it with global warming. But more importantly, he's talking about human beings. You know, because the Bible calls us, you know, it says, you know, the spirit of Babylon sits upon many waters, and the people are roaring. The nations are roaring. People are afraid. Right now, there is fear. But I want you to know God is in control. Turn to your neighbor and say, "God is in control. And we are going to triumph." I didn't hear you. Turn to your neighbor and say, "We are triumphing. If I made it to the end of 2016, I'm going to make it through 2017. Say, the mercy that saw me through 2016 will see me through 2017 and give me triumph in every area of my life in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. But you know, people who don't know what you know, and people who are not practicing what you're practicing, as we're going to share before we close this message and pray, you know, don't have that kind of confidence. They don't have it. Right now, people are afraid. They don't know what Donald Trump is going to do. They don't know what China will do. They don't know what, you know, what will happen in Europe. There's Turkey and Islamic terrorism. Everybody, you know, is do exactly what the Bible said. Verse 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear. For looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. The word powers there, remember Ephesians 6, principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits in heavenly places. The spiritual warfare we're involved in now, we are bombarding their positions in the heavenly places, and the powers of the heavens are being shaken. You know why? God is going to now allow the church to have dominion in the heavens, so that the will of God will be done on the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For that to happen, there must be a shaking. Because before, hitherto, Satan and his guys are the guys that have controlled the nations, that have weakened the nations. So for the church to now take that position, you have to shake them out of that position. You have to push them out of that position. And we're doing it. Hallelujah. And we saw the witness of it in 2016. And it's going to increase in 2017. Hallelujah. But you know how it's going to happen? By the mercy of God. That's what we're going to be talking about in a few minutes. It's going to take understanding the mechanics, if you can use that expression, the principles of operating the fullness of the mercy of God in your life. And as we do that individually and collectively, we're going to see the power of God, the glory of God impact the principalities and powers in the heavenlies and the nations. That's why, personally, you know, let me just share this as a testimony. I'm sure I've mentioned this either directly or indirectly in church. You know, when the elections, American elections happened, it shook me. It did. Because that was not what I expected. But after going into prayer, and, you know, because the Bible says, if any lack wisdom, let him ask. If something doesn't happen the way you thought it will happen, then you need to go back to God and find out why it happened like that and what the wisdom of God is. That's why the Bible says, you know, let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, and wanting nothing. And it says, is any lack wisdom? Wisdom about what? Wisdom about the tribulation. It says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations and trials, knowing this, that trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have a perfect work. So when you go and you begin to find, I say, God, what happened here? You know, and in a nutshell, you know, God has allowed that, and he's going to use it to make sure things come back to a lack of central position. The liberalism, both in the Western nations, with all this homosexuality and excessive freedoms and all of this, has taken those nations to an extreme place where if you preach the truth like some of us, you can even be arrested. And that's not the will of God. So God is going to use this to turn this around. So our prayers, because we're praying in the Spirit, let me tell you, no prayer is lost. No prayer is wasted. How are you listening to me? God's will, because that's the beauty of praying in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, even the one you don't know, God will work his will. He will work his will through what you are praying. Hallelujah. And there's a change that is taking place. Amen. But right on the other hand, you know, those the extremes of the right wings, if you can call it that, you know, will also not be allowed to abort the will of God. And that's why we gave the message about Nebuchadnezzar. See, God will use, he said, Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. He will use Nebuchadnezzar, but he will not allow Nebuchadnezzar to spoil his work. Hallelujah. So there is a place, there is a limitation. The God will place a limit. And when Nebuchadnezzar got to a particular place, God knew what to do in order to curtail him. And at the end of the day, the will of God was done. So shall it be in our time. Hallelujah. And so it's very important for us to understand what the Lord is doing here. And so we're going to see the mercy of God, the fullness of it, causing us to triumph in 2016, sorry, in 2017, you know, and bring stability to the shakings we have experienced and are experiencing from 2016. The nations are shaking as I speak. Even here in Nigeria, we felt the so-called economic recession, but you have expansion in Jesus' name. Amen. And the difficulties of the times in which we're living in. But mercy will triumph for you. I say mercy will triumph for you. And you will overcome. Give me back. Go back to Luke as I go on. Luke chapter 21, verse 26. Yes. And the powers, so you understand what's happening here. The powers of the heavens shall be shaken. So this symbolically, this speaks of the principalities and powers that are being shaken out of their position of dominion over the air, over the nations, and being substituted or taken over and controlled by the church to bring stability. And hence, the Bible tells us, look at Haggai now. Haggai chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2 verse 7. I shared about this recently. He says, I will shake all nations. Turn to your neighbor. He said, that's already happening. It's not going to happen. It's already happening as we speak. Nigeria is shaking. England is shaking. Europe is shaking. America is shaking. China is shaking. You know, everybody is shaking. Because God has allowed, God is so wise. In his wisdom, he has allowed, let me see, keep that expression, you know, to come on the stage, people you cannot predict. That's why there's a shaking. Well, I was speaking to someone who is very knowledgeable about economics and, you know, at the international level. And he was telling me that Donald Trump, you know, and some of the things he's saying about China and all of that, is forgetting something. Most of the debt of America is held by China. If China calls in, you haven't seen shaking yet. If they demand their money, America is in trouble. But interestingly, China is also in trouble. Because for China to exist economically, there is so much they depend on America for. So it's mutually assured destruction. Economically speaking. So there's a balance here. Are you listening to me? And that's why everybody's shaking. And it's like playing a game of poker. And you don't know who's going to blink first. And so you put your own card down. The other guy puts his own card down. And then you're looking at each other. And then you don't know what he has in his hands. And you don't know what he's going to do next. Amen. But you know the good news? God knows what's going to happen next. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. God knows what's going to happen next. And those of us who are, by his mercy and grace, walking with God, even though the nations are shaking, even though there is fear, there is no fear with us. Hallelujah. Because mercy will preserve us. Everybody say, mercy will preserve us. Mercy will cause us to be faithful. And mercy will cause us to triumph. So we do not fear. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Mercy is going to be predominant in our walk with God. Of course, these are things we've known before, but it's a question of emphasis now. There's going to be a stronger emphasis on the mercy of God and the understanding of it and how you're going to use it, you know, to triumph always in every situation and in every facet of your life. Haggai, and I will shake all nations. So all nations are being shaken. Look, it's a sequence here. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. So the first thing is the shaking of the nations. So we've seen that one. So the next thing on the timetable is the desire of all nations that will come. Then after that, I said, and I will do what? Fill this house with glory. So we're going to see, we've seen the shaking of the nations. And so we're going to now begin to see the desire of all nations coming, which is that Temple Mount. As the church begins to occupy Mount Zion and establish the house of the Lord at the top of the mountain, it says all nations shall flow into it. That's why it's the desire of all nations. All nations will now want to come to the church, because the church is the only one who will have the answer. The church is the only one who will have the power. The church is the only one that will have the wisdom to save them from the shaking. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 33, in verse 6, he says, you know, I will give you wisdom and knowledge that shall be the stability of your times. Only the church will have it. Just like only Joseph had the answer to the problem of Pharaoh. And only Daniel had the answer to the problem of Nebuchadnezzar. Hallelujah. When problem came, they said, go and bring Daniel. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And there is light and understanding with him. And he will tell the king the matter. For why is the king disturbed? And when Daniel came before Nebuchadnezzar, he said to him, you know, there is a God in heaven who has the answers. He said, let me know and I will bring the king an answer of peace. That's what Joseph said to Pharaoh. You know, I'm bringing the two stories together, but because I'm getting the spirit of it, not just the letter of it. Now, the thing about it is that the Joseph and the Daniel ministry are going to bring the wisdom of God to the leaders of the nations of the world. And that will bring stability. And they will bring this word. I was just meditating upon it tonight as I was coming, as I was praying. You know, he says, the dream is certain and the interpretation therefore is sure. And you know what? You know what? Even though those guys were not Christians, even though they did not know Jehovah in the Old Testament, today we'll say they're not Christians, even though they recognized God when God showed up, amen, they said, where shall we find such a man? In whom is the Spirit of God? He said, for as much as God has shown this to you, he said, there is no body that has more wisdom than you. Therefore, you will be above every other. Oh, it is at your word that they will rule our nations. Hallelujah. And you've seen this thing prophetically. God has been saying this thing about God, you know, the church ruling the nations. You know, the Bible says, the rod of strength out of Zion rule in the midst of their enemies. This is going to usher it in. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And so, we're in a place. You know, even though it looks like a hard place, even though it looks like a difficult place, is the place of greatest opportunity. Are you listening to me? It is when it is dark that the stars shine. The stars are shining during the day, but you can't see it because of the sun. You only see it when it's dark. It is when there is recession, you will see your expansion. It is when there is problem, you will see your solution. Hallelujah. It is when there is tribulation, you will see your peace. Are you listening to me? I want to say something to us that's very important. The Bible says that let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, good works are different levels. There are moral good works. There are physical good works, which are wonderful and great. And I certainly encourage us, and I want us to do that, and we're doing it, and we do more of it, you know, helping the poor and the orphans and all of that, you know. But these are natural things that even people who are not Christians can do. Hello? And some of them are even doing. Amen. But what will make you shine is the supernatural. That is the one that they cannot do. And that's what's going to make the difference. So we are going to superimpose the supernatural on the natural. We will do the natural, but on top of that, we will have the supernatural. And then they will now say, this is the finger of God. This is the finger of God. This is what, man cannot do it. That's what Nicodemus said to Jesus. He said, we know you are a teacher come from God. For no man can do the works that you have done. When they were discussing about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they asked, they're going to arrest him. You know, the guys came back and said, never has man spoken like this man. They said, are you also deceived? You know, does any prophet come out of Galilee? You know what they said? What an ordinary guy said? He said, since the beginning of the world, have you ever heard of anybody who opened the eyes of the blind as blind? He said, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. There was something about the Lord Jesus Christ, that supernatural element in his life and in his ministry, that put him a cut above everybody else. Hallelujah. So even the skeptics, even the people who didn't believe in him or refused to believe in him, had to admit that the man was from God. Hallelujah. And say, this one. He said, these men have done a notable miracle and we cannot deny it. It is this supernatural aspect that the church must bring to play again. Our philosophy, our preaching, they're all good. But if we do not back it with the supernatural, we are not going to break the nations. And that's what God is going to do. Hallelujah. And he's already started to do. Glory to God. By shaking the nations as we're seeing him do. And so, there's a shaking of the nations. Then there's this desire of all nations, which is the perfection, the fullness of Christ, the glory of God that will come through. It will now become what all the nations we desire. And that's why it says, and all nations shall flow into it. All the nations will be attracted to it. All the nations will come and they will come to learn. They will come to, that's one of the things I found about that scripture that is so great. You know, he says, and many people shall say, let us go to the house of the God of Jacob, for he will teach us. The emphasis in the end time perfection church will not be miracles, because miracles will be common. I said this many times, I'm going to keep saying it, you know, and when it comes to pass, you will see, you know, spectacular miracles will be as common as tongues is now. Are you listening to me? Blind eyes seeing, the lame walking, will be as common as tongues is now. Now, I say that with understanding and with wisdom. Even though tongues is common now, it's still not common. How many people know that? Hello? Even among Pentecostal people, you find that very few people, you know, relatively now, I'm talking about percentage-wise, actually pray in tongues, you know, effectually and fervently and frequently and consistently. It is common, but it is not common. Hello? 100 years ago, tongues was not common at all. It then started to grow and it became common. It became supernatural. We saw the gifts of the Spirit and all of that, you know. But even with that, even though it is common now, it's still not common. We have, as far as I know, you know, to the best of recent statistics, you know, maybe about 2 billion professing Christians. When I say professing, I'm talking about people who go to church and say, if they fill a form, you say, what is your religion? Say, Christianity. You know, professing Christians. Of that 2 billion, of which about 1 billion is Roman Catholic, then the remaining 1 billion is, is what we call we Protestants. Then of us, the Protestants, you have we, the Pentecostals. These Pentecostals probably about, I'm just giving, you know, general estimates, you know, maybe about 500 million, possibly more, you know, maybe 500-700, I'm not sure. You know, of those 500 million, the ones that actually pray in tongues and you know, effectually and fervently, probably are no more than 100 million. So it's common, but it's not common. In a population of 7 billion. So you can look at the percentages, you can find it's very, very small. So it's common, but it's not common. So it's going to be with miracles. They will be common, but they will not be common. People will see them around, but it's not going to be everybody. Even though it will be common. Are you listening to me? And so we're going to see miracles that are going to be spectacular miracles. That will be happening consistently. Because of the release of the power of the Spirit without measure. This desire of all nations. And then the consequence of that is that he will fill the house with glory. Let's go back to Haggai. You see a three sequence thing here. Everyone say, I will shake all nations. I didn't hear you. Turn to your neighbor, say number one. And desire of all nations shall come. I didn't hear you. Everyone say number two. And I will fill this house with glory. I didn't hear you. Say number three. It's a sequence. And we've seen number one. So we're going to see number two. And we're going to see number three. And you'll be a part of it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 2017 is going to be a better year for you than 2016. Mark my word. Amen. Amen. And I bring you this word. Mercy will preserve you. And mercy will establish you. Glory be to God. I don't want to paint an unrealistic picture. I believe in telling the truth. And we're going to find our truth and honesty and an essential ingredient for walking in the mercy of God. But before I get there, I want to say this to you. It's not as if there are not going to be problems. I said this after the U.S. election, and I gave that message on Joseph, Daniel, and Nebuchadnezzar. The road ahead of us is going to be a little bit bumpy. You know, when you're in a plane, a good pilot who has his instruments working and all of that, you know, radar and all the weather instruments, and they get information, they're able to say, before they hit it, they'll say there's turbulence ahead. They say there's going to be turbulence. You know, you might as well, you see the plane shaking. But he doesn't say you should panic. He just say fasten your seat belts. Turn to your neighbor, say, fasten your mercy belts. There's going to be tribulation ahead, but you'll come through it. I'm going to say it again. I said there's going to be turbulence ahead. Fasten your mercy belt. Turn to your neighbor, say, fasten your mercy belt. And you will come through the tribulation. Hallelujah. You will come through the turbulence. Amen. You will feel it, but it will not destroy you. The mercy, the seat belt of mercy will preserve you through the turbulence. But if I tell you there will not be turbulence, I'll be telling you a lie. There will be turbulence. There will be turbulence. There will be turbulence. But you will go through it. Look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 28. Proverbs 20, 28. Mercy and truth. Do what? Preserve the king. What's going to preserve you? Mercy and truth. They're actually tied together with a very short rope. You cannot really experience the mercy of God if you don't tell the truth in your heart. That's why honesty of heart is going to be a big part in the things we're going to be walking in 2017. And it's going to do what? It's going to preserve you. That's your seat belt. It's going to see you through the turbulence that is ahead. Amen. Why is there going to be turbulence? Because there is this war in the heavens. It hasn't stopped yet. There's this clash of spiritual forces, the angels of God and the angels of the devil. And as a consequence of it, you will feel it on the earth. We're seeing it already. The shaking. So there's going to be turbulence ahead, but you're going to make it. Glory be to God. Then mercy will establish you. Look at Isaiah chapter 16, verse 5. I'm giving you scriptures the Lord gave me. Isaiah, I need mercy. I didn't hear you. Shall the throne be what? Established. And he shall sit upon it where? In truth. You see that truth again. In the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and what? Hastening righteousness. Mercy. Mercy. Everybody say, mercy will preserve me in 2016. And then mercy will establish me. Say, I will be established in righteousness. I'll be established in health. I'll be established in prosperity. I'll be established in my family life. I'll be established in every area of my life by the mercy of God. Mercy will establish you. Not only will it preserve you, it will also cause you to become established. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. What a great year. It's going to be our greatest year yet. You know why? Every year is going to be greater than the one that's behind. The glory of the latter house is always greater than the former. Amen. And the path of the righteous is going to get brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. The end of the matter is better than the beginning. Your greatest years are still ahead of you. And 2017 is going to be a greater year than all the other years behind you. Are you listening to me? And it's going to continue like that. Glory be to God. If you can't shout at that, I don't know what you can shout at. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a super clap offering. Amen. Now, in closing, how does this thing operate? How are we going to walk in the fullness of the mercy of God to triumph? Let's first of all define a few terms. These are things we should all be familiar with, but for the benefit of those who are watching us live on the internet, and we greet our internet audience, like we greet all of you, you have to understand that the mercy of God is actually the power of God that God releases sovereignly, in a sense, from the air upon the souls, mind, will, emotions, bodies, and circumstances of men to preserve them, like we said, to enable them to be faithful, to cause them to triumph. Now, these are levels of mercy, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. You know, you can have mercy to preserve you. In other words, you are preserved from destruction, but you may not be faithful in the things of God. You may, you know, like it says in one place, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, he will be saved, but he will suffer loss. Now, you don't want that. Praise the Lord. Now, you want to be saved, but you don't want to suffer loss. You want to get gain. Praise the Lord. So, you don't just need mercy to be preserved, you also need mercy to be faithful. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And then the scripture tells us in another place, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 14, he says, I thanks be unto God who always, everybody say, shout always. Turn to your neighbor, say, the man said always, not sometimes, oh. No, I said, turn to your neighbor, tell him that God said always, not sometimes, oh. God always, always, always. I said it deliberately. You know, we triumph sometimes. But how many want to triumph always? It's another level of mercy. It's higher than mercy to be preserved. It's even higher than mercy to be faithful. That's one is 30-fold. The other one is 60-fold. But there is another level of mercy that can be operating in your life that will cause you triumph always. Don't your neighbor say, that's where I'm going. 2017, here I come. Mercy to triumph. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, how does it operate? Let's define mercy. It's the power of God, life of God, that is released by God through the air. It's not something that happens inside you. It's something that happens outside you. It's bigger than you. Glory to God. It's not dependent on what you are doing on the inside. It's not dependent on your effort. It's not dependent on your willing. That's why I said, it's not of him that runneth. Now we must run. I'm not knocking running, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. And it's not of him that willeth, and I'm not knocking willing, determination. But the Bible reveals to us that if you run and you will, and the mercy of God does not get superimposed upon it, there is no guarantee to triumph. I'm going to repeat it. It is not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy. The implication of this statement is that even if you run and you will, if the mercy of God at a particular measure is not released upon you, there is no guarantee you will triumph. You may not be destroyed. You will make it, but you may not triumph. In other words, you may not succeed to the degree God has planned you to succeed. But you will succeed in Jesus' name. Because I'm going to teach you now, I'm going to instruct you by the mercy of God and the help of the Holy Spirit how to get mercy to triumph always. So mercy is the power of God that God releases through the air from his throne upon men. And that is why it works both for sinner and saint. God shows mercy even to sinners because it has nothing to do with what is going on inside them. It's something God does from the outside. I noticed in my own personal life, you know, before I even became a Christian, where things would just work out for me and I wouldn't know why. Looking back now, I know it's the mercy of God. Scripture, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. I was reading one translation, they say scans. You know how you scan, how the computer scans something. The eyes of the Lord scan the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those who are doing all the right things, whose heart are perfect. God is looking at the heart. Even when a man is doing wrong actions, if his heart is right, he will receive mercy. You find another guy who may be doing the right actions, if his heart is wrong, he will not receive mercy. Mercy is a function of your heart. Mercy, Lord. Thank you, Gloria. Is a function of your heart. The honesty of your heart especially. The honesty. A man that says the truth to himself in his heart will receive mercy. Case in point, Abimelech. We've given that example so many times. Abimelech was an unbeliever. He was a Gentile Jew king. He saw Sarah. This time God was doing a miracle in Sarah's life, you know, and had reversed her age process. And she was looking beautiful at the age of 90, you know, possibly, you know. Honey, have you ever thought about that? Maybe Sarah was even already pregnant. Oh, yes. Because if you read the story... Are you listening to me? You know, because God had begun to do the miracle. Maybe she had even conceived. Imagine what would have happened if Abimelech had slept with her. You know what? God showed up. Showed himself strong on his behalf. Let me paint a scenario to you. He sees Sarah, admires her, wants her as one of the women in his harem, tells her to take her into the harem. You know, he's a king. In those days, kings didn't obey human rights. And if you talk, you will die. If you are the husband. You understand? So Abraham was powerless. He couldn't do anything about it. But he takes her into the harem, and she's there, you know, for at least a night. Probably more, but at least one night. The natural thing would have been she's a new catch. So the natural thing would have been for Abimelech to go and call for her that night. Something happened. It's called the mercy of God. That did not make Abimelech think about it. That did not make Abimelech ask for her. That did not make Abimelech go to her. And we know it's the mercy of God. You know why? You know what scripture says? It says God appeared to him in a dream in the night and says, you're a dead man. He says, you have taken another man's wife. The man said, ah, God, I don't know you, but I know you. That's an Olubi translation, but it's truth. Every human being knows God. Have you noticed that whenever people are in trouble, the first thing they say is, Olowo Egbamio. That's in our language. In English, have you ever said, God, help me. Oh, God. Even when they don't know God. It's an instinctive thing that is inside every human being. You know why? You came from God. So there is always that outreach to God. Whether you know it or you don't know it. Whether you understand it or you don't understand it. So Abimelech can say, God, you know that in the innocency of my heart, I have done this because he told me she was his sister. You know what God said? God said, I know. This is what God does. Not only for Abimelech, he's doing it tonight. All over the planet. Over the 7 billion people, over that, and this, God's working day and night. His mercy, the Bible says, the earth is full of thy mercies. All thy mercies are over all thy work. It's 24/7. Hallelujah. Do you know, this is a slight diversion. I'll come back to what I'm talking about. I'm like, do you know that it is the mercy of God we are alive today? There are more than enough nuclear bombs to have completely destroyed the earth over 100,000 times over that they have not been used since World War II. In spite of the deprivation of man's heart, is the mercy of God. It is the mercy of God. In 1962, the Bay of Pigs. In Cuba, and that time John F. Kennedy was president, and Fidel Castro and Khrushchev was in Russia. They came this close to a nuclear exchange. And ever since then, don't let anybody fool you. Those things are there. They are not figments of imagination. And Hiroshima will be like a firecracker compared to the kind of nuclear bombs we have today. That's why people are afraid of Donald Trump and some of the utterances he's making. All you just need is one crazy guy to make a mistake or say something he shouldn't say. And some other person think he said this, and then he now responds thinking that that's what he said. Mercy will preserve us. The mercy that has preserved us since 1945 till today will continue to preserve us. Are you listening to me? Going back to Abimelech, God said to him, I know that the integrity of your heart you've done is, watch this. This is a great statement. Therefore, I have kept thee. Read it. I also withheld thee. I, God. Abimelech was not praying. He wasn't binding the devil. He was not fasting. He was not doing anything like that. It was pure mercy. I also kept thee. That's how mercy operates. It's not dependent on what you're doing. It is dependent on your heart. He said, I know. God said, I know. I know integrity of your heart you've done is, therefore I also. God was moving on Abimelech when Abimelech did not even know there was God. And that he was moving. He's doing the same tonight. In the lives of billions of men over the earth. I've come to that unchangeable conclusion. The Bible says, it says his tender mercies are over all his works. Now, there's a proviso there. When you begin to know the truth, and your response to truth will now determine, here's the key, the measure of mercy. That's why you see some people getting more mercy and some people getting less mercy. Case in point, Saul and David. Now, David did terrible things.
Committed adultery with the woman, killed the husband.
Now, the mercy of God was removed, but he was not totally removed. He felt the affliction through his son Absalom and all of that. But with Saul, the Bible says, I will not take my mercy from you as I took it from him. The measure of the mercy of God on the life of David was far greater than the life of Saul. Saul too went to heaven, you know. And our people know that. They haven't read their Bible to that level. Samuel said, you and your sons will be here with me today. And we know, I certainly know Jonathan didn't go to hell. It's Abraham's bosom. So anyway, the point is, there are measures and degrees of the mercy of God. And it is the honesty of our hearts that determine that measure. And that's why you must, if you really want to walk in the mercy of God, you need to increase the degree of the honesty of your heart. Speak the truth to yourself in your heart. When you try and be smart and you are deceptive and you're dishonest, you're cutting yourself from mercy. A dishonest person, a stubborn, a rebellious person, you know, is somebody who is going to, you know, that's what happened with Saul. Saul was not honest. Now, David did a bad thing, but he was honest about it. Now, not at first. Hello? That's why he got the amount of chastening that he got. You know, he just did it and he didn't care. You know, it was until his friend Nathan, you know, the prophet said, you are the man. Then David fell on his ground. Read Psalm 51. And then, you know, he was honest about it. He truly repented and everything. Then the mercy of God was restored back to him. And God brought him back after his son rebelled, brought him back to Jerusalem, you know. But he wasn't allowed to build a temple. There's always a price to pay. Are you listening to me? Even though the mercy preserved him, it did not triumph enough to build the temple. I'm teaching us about the mechanics, if you want to use that expression, of mercy. It all depends on the heart. Look at Psalm 15. Psalm 15. Look at verse 2. We're going to close shortly. We're almost 11 o'clock. We'll start praying by 11 by the grace of God. So we'll have an hour to pray before we go into the new year. He says, he that walketh uprightly. No. Go to verse 1. Glory to God. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? And watch this in its prophetic 2017 context. And who shall dwell in thy holy hill? How many want to get to Temple Mount? We're 50 years from when natural Israel did it. Exactly a jubilee. Amen? First the natural, afterward the spiritual. Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He's told you the prerequisite. Next verse. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth to other people. That's the key right there. That's the key. Even if you don't tell the truth to other people, tell the truth to yourself and to God. Now, watch this. Is it that God does not know when you lie? Is it that God does not know when you are dishonest? Of course he does. Amen? But he says, and because I kept silence, you thought I was like you. The fact that God doesn't talk doesn't mean that God doesn't know. And that he's not going to do something about it. That's why you have to be brutally. My wife shared with some of the brethren recently. So you have to be brutally honest. Not just honest, brutally. You have to tell the truth to yourself in your heart. You know, God told them, the children of Israel, in one place in the scriptures, he said, is there not a lie in your right hand? You know, just look at yourself and be honest. The Bible says the heart of man is deceitful above all things and what? Desperately wicked. You know, after David did what he did, you know what he said?
In some of the Psalms, Psalm 51 and a few Psalms, I'm just going to bring out the spirit of it. You know, he said that man altogether at his best is less than vanity. He said, I was born in sin and I was shapen in iniquity. Now, that day, you don't find that in the scripture. You understand, under the book of Psalms, you know, how David was brutally honest. He said, there must be something tragically wrong with my heart. And it's something that is there. The only person that can remove it is God. Who shall say by himself, I am free from my sin, and I have made my heart clean? Only God can do it. But he can only do it for the person who admits that there is a problem. The person who is dishonest about it, he can't get it. Are you listening to me? So, if you want to move with God in this 2017, the level of the honesty of your heart must undergo a quantum leap. For those of you who don't know physics, that just means it must become bigger. Let's keep it simple. Praise the Lord. Are you listening to me? You just have to move up in the honesty of your heart if you really want to enjoy the mercy of God. Am I talking to anybody here? Now, look at another Psalm 24. We're going to close. Psalm 24 is a beautiful scripture, you know, and what does it say? Verses 2 and 3. I got to close. Two more through my scriptures. It says, for he hath founded it up. No. Go to verse Psalm 24. I think verse 1, or is it verse 3, where it says, who shall ascend? Exactly. Who shall what? Ascend. That same hill. That mount of the Lord. And who shall stand where? In his holy place. Verse 4. He that what hath clean hands and a pure heart. That's an honest heart. Who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor what? Sworn what? Deceitfully. Honesty. You can't get away from it too. The reason, I got news for you. The reason why so many Christians either not being preserved, or they're not faithful, and they're not triumphing as frequently as they ought to, is because of the drop in the level of mercy, which is a direct result of the drop in the level of honesty. You confront people with truth, they refuse to accept it. They want to fight you. I've said this many, many times. David would not have gone through all he went through if he had been honest much earlier. The day, you know, he stayed back, you know, in the battle, you know, and then he was looking on the veranda and he was looking at a woman who was having her bath, you know. What's wrong with me? After all, I have my wife's downstairs. You know, he was just taking his eyes off her, and then that story would not be in the Bible. It's very important to say the truth to yourself in your heart. What is this I'm doing? What am I doing? Call, you know, send for her. You know, even that alone is a sign of foolishness. Anything a third person hears, people knew. Because it was not David who went directly. He sent somebody. The person he sent, is he a dudu? Before you know it, all the talk will be going around the palace. Did you hear what? He sent for that. You know, they know the name of the woman. They know how could somebody of David's stature expose himself to such a thing? Heart. The heart had degraded. The same David that caught Saul's skirt and his heart pricked him. His heart did not prick him when he sent for Bathsheba. Mercy. Am I talking to anybody here? Am I helping anybody here? Amen? So you got to exercise it. Now, Proverbs 21:21. We're going to look at two scriptures, two or three, and then we're going to close. It says, Proverbs 21:21. I shared this with us recently.
This is our last weekly reminder. He that followeth after what? Righteousness and mercy. Righteousness, there is right standing. And mercy. And they are tied together. You know what righteousness is? It's right standing with God. And the only way you can follow after it is by frequently being honest about your sins. So to ask for the forgiveness and cleansing, so that the life of God can flow properly. There is none of us. We're going on to perfection. As we're growing to this perfection, there is none of us that at one level or the other does not sin. Now, we're going to get to the point where we stop sinning. Now, the sin frequency is going to drop to zero. And we're working on that. You know, and I've shared my own testimony and illustration, but I'm not going to go into all of that right now. But I just want to bring out this fact. You know, when you think about sin, people are talking about adultery and fornication and drinking beer and smoking cigarettes and I'm as a sinner. Well, what about you? Hello? Hello? He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him, it is sin. The thought of foolishness is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That catches everybody. How many people can tell me as I stand here right now that every prayer they pray today, they pray it in faith? The house went quiet. He said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Remember these guys were praying for Peter to be delivered? How many people remember? They're not different from you and I. Same Christians. Hello? Peter shows up at the door. And they come and tell the people who are praying, who are believing God for Peter's deliverance, and say, Peter is at the door. He said, you are mad. How are they praying? In faith or in unbelief? How many times do we pray in unbelief? Do you see why you need the mercy of God? Do you see why you need to follow after righteousness and mercy? So when we're talking about sin, we're not talking about moral sin at the level of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. That is there. But even at this, all these other levels, God says something to your heart, do this, and you don't do it. No other person knows except you and God. But to you it is sin. This is a level that God is brutally honest. It is when you begin to operate at that level of honesty, and God, by His mercy, helped me to be exercising myself in this for years, you know, that you now recognize why you need to say, Father, I confess our sins, and I'm clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, you know, so that I can stand in right standing with God. I can now pray in faith. My confidence is not in how well I have done. Even though I may do very well, my confidence is in the blood that keeps me in right standing with God. So I follow after right standing and mercy. Then he says, he will find life, Zoe, life will flow, right doing and honor. It's a sequence. It's one of the most important spiritual instructions inside the Bible. He said, and this 2017, that's what you're going to do. Told your neighbor, said, you heard pastor, you don't have a choice. I said, you don't have a choice. You will follow right standing and mercy. You will find life, right doing and honor. And then you will triumph always. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. This is how it's going to operate. Amen. Finally, I'm going to give you an example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before I do that, I want to remind us of what Mommy Sarah shared with us a few weeks ago here in church. That message has been resonating in my heart. Exodus chapter 25, verse 22. It's a picture. Can you give me that picture of the Ark of the Covenant? We got it that day, the golden one. You had two cherubims. And Mommy used Pastor Larry and Pastor Kunle, thank God for the cherubims, who are overseeing the mercy seat. Amen? And this is a shadow. These Old Testament types of shadows, but it tells us the reality in the New Testament. I'm going to show you reality in a minute. Now, there it is. Beautiful. You can see the two cherubims and their wings. They are
they are sitting on top of the mercy seat. This thing is called the mercy seat. That thing is the Ark of the Tabernacle. That's where the law is. The law is inside. But on top of the law is the mercy seat. Then on top of the mercy seat, you have these two angels. Now, it is in between the touching of the angels and the mercy seat that God talks. That's where the place of prayer is. Are you listening to me? In between the cherubims and the mercy seat. I find it extremely instructive and very, very inspiring that God does not call it the judgment seat. It's the throne of God. You see the same in the book of Revelation in chapter 8. Of book of Revelation in verse 3, you find, he said, and there was another angel, and he took the incense and put it on the altar that was in front of the throne, and then mixed it with the prayers of all the saints, and then the prayer ascended up before God, and then the angel now took from that censer and poured it into the earth, and there was lightning and shaking. In other words, the prayer that will shake the earth, the prayer that will avail much, is the prayer that has been amplified with the mercy of God. I used to do it before, but I do it far more frequently and constantly. I don't pray now without mercy. Consciously. Without faith. I pray like I used to pray. I run, I will, but I always, I'm so conscious. It has become a part of my thinking. I have ingrained it into my thinking. So I say, Lord, have mercy. Father, I confess my sins. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on me as I pray. And I don't say it religiously. I say it in faith. Because I understand what is happening. Are you listening to me? It's going to take the superposition of the mercy of God upon my prayer, upon my faith, upon... It's very interesting. Hebrews chapter 4. He says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain not grace first, mercy. And then find grace to help. Can you see the sequence? It's the mercy that comes upon the grace that causes it to work. In closing, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's in Gethsemane and he's praying. Watch this. He's praying. He says, Father, if it be possible, remove this cup. It's not one of these your Ajabota prayers. Hello? It's not one of these funny headache prayers and 5-minute prayer. You're looking at a 3-hour prayer session. Are you listening to me? With tongues and groanings. You know, he said, Father, you know, not as I will, but as I... Luke chapter 22. And you know what? The Bible says, he prayed more earnestly. As he prayed, something happened. The Bible says, an angel is mercy in operation. Do you notice these cherubims? That's why I pray, I always say, through the ministry of angels. It is the angels that administer the mercy of God. See, the angels are outside you. So when you are feeling weak, they're not feeling weak. Do you understand? They come from the presence of God and they can take the mercy of God and impart it. That's why it is through the cherubims. And that's exactly what happened in Gethsemane. Jesus was praying, and as he prayed, he was doing this, he was running, he was willing, but he had got to the place where everything began to tilt. Father, if it be possible for him to triumph, for him to make it over, he needed the mercy of God to push him. And it was the mercy of God through the ministry of angels that took him through. It will take you through. Stand to your feet, let us pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you want to call it a formula, if you want to call it a principle for 2016-17, you got it right there. You got it right there. And you know what? I just got another tweet. Or a text, if you like. Jesus was honest. Woo! It was his honesty. Father, I don't want to do this. I don't feel like doing this. He didn't try to be religious. He didn't try to impress God. He told God the truth in his heart. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Honesty. Nevertheless, not what I want, but what I want. When God saw the honesty, the mercy showed up and took him over. It took him over. Mercy will cause you to triumph. Exercise honesty of heart. Exercise it daily. Speak the truth to yourself in your heart for God to do what he wants to do.